do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I'm certain that most of us have either said or heard that phrase a time or two in our lives. Oftentimes, we might be saying that in our head. Who do you think you are? Usually, that phrase is for that one person we all know that seems to be an expert on everything. Do you know that person? They're an expert on everything, even though they really have done absolutely nothing. Now, I have never been a school teacher, and many of you here are retired from our education system. So just imagine if I started a conversation and I told some of you how to make a lesson plan or how to run a class. You just might look at me and say, "Who do you think you are? I did this for 30 years. As a dad, I have watched my wife during pregnancy and watched as she gave birth. And although I have an understanding from watching it, just imagine if I said I understood the morning sickness, the mood swings, the aches, the pains, the baby kicking vital organs, or the joys of labor and delivery. If I said I knew what that was like, most of women would say, "Who do you think you are?" And I've said that phrase too, especially when it comes to things I feel I'm an expert at. I remember coming back from my deployment and hearing TV and radio news reports talking about the prisoners down at Guantanamo Bay and how things were being run. And I remember thinking, "Who do they think they are?" And I was angry at what things were being said on the news. I went as far as calling the radio station and was a guest on an afternoon talk show just so I could share the truth, because I knew the truth. I personally wrote a large part of the standard operating procedures that they used then and for many years to follow. You could say I was the expert. And what did these news people know what they were thinking or talking about when they talked about Guantanamo Bay? I was the expert. Who did they think they were? But I think mankind in general likes to think of themselves as a highly intelligent, well-accomplished, a superior being. And we are not shy to speak up when we think we are the expert or when we think we are smarter and wiser than the next person. Think of all the people that like to spout off their knowledge of politics or about their philosophy in life. And then we certainly see the arrogance of the movers and shakers that want to climb the ladder and be on top, to earn more, to have more, to be in control. From the earliest time, mankind has sought to tame the earth. We have built ships to cross the ocean. We have built dams to control rivers. We have converted her natural resources into magnificent things. And now we are even trying to control her climate. Throughout time, one culture or group of people have sought to rise above others through power and warfare, through philosophy and religion, through science and technology, and through economic superiority. Mankind has even turned toward space as our next frontier. We have sent men and spaceships to explore beyond our realm, and now we're talking about going back to the moon and even to Mars. We're always wondering if there's any other intelligent life that exists, and we question if it is superior to our own existence. And as great as any achievement in history has been, and despite any godlike status anyone might have attained, one thing is true. No one has ever had, nor will they ever have the power, the wisdom, or the knowledge of God. This is our sixth week into our walk with James. And James gives us some of the simplest and most clear understanding of our walk with God and our walk with each other. In this set of passages, James teaches us first about wisdom. And according to James, there are two kinds of wisdom: wisdom that comes from God and wisdom that is not of God. Here are these verses. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." Isn't that a stark contrast from the way the world operates? It is surely different than that know-it-all person who likes to show off their expertise on every subject. It is certainly different than the great CEOs that build business empires. It is certainly different than our politicians who seem to be more interested in lining their pockets. And James tells us about these types of people. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and self-ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. James clearly says there's a bad kind of wisdom. And if you harbor bitter envy, that means you want what somebody else has. Or if you have self-ambition, which means you strive to rise above everybody else, then your wisdom, your intelligence, your ability is not from God. In fact, James describes it as earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I think we could all agree that somebody like Hitler was gifted and intelligent, but obviously his wisdom was not of God. Hitler and many others have sought world domination and are said to have a God-like complex. But we shouldn't just look at Hitler or Alexander the Great, the Caesars or the Pharaohs. We all by nature, inside of us, desire to become God-like. I mean, go back to our very beginnings. Adam and Eve fell because why? In verse 4 of Genesis, it says, you will not certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Adam and Eve thought that they could gain wisdom and a level of equality with God. This was the very first sin. It is a sin to think we are equal to God. It is a sin to think that we have wisdom equal to or greater than God. And even early civilization thought that they could attain greatness through building. The story of the Tower of Babel that you heard Ethan read. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'd be scattered all over the face of the whole earth. Even as a civilization, our collective being does not begin to come close to the power and wisdom of God. Yet we as a people are proud of the things we have built and accomplished. And James tells us that we have no reason to boast. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Do you hear that? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Kind of makes you feel small, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. We can make new hybrid species of plants to grow in a garden that are bug and drought resistant. We can move mountains with dynamite. We have technology that sends satellites into space that broadcast billions of feeds per minute. And we have scientists at work cracking the DNA code. But think about it. Despite all of that, despite how far advanced we think we are still nothing but a mist. Nothing but a mist. Our God created light. He created the heavens and the earth. He created us out of dust. He gives life. He takes life away, and he has the power to restore that life again. Too many times we lift ourselves up and we bring God down. Too many Christians live like God is a maybe. Maybe God is real. Maybe God did some miracles. I mean, look at creation. Look at the great flood of Noah. Look at the plagues on Egypt or the parting of the Red Sea. We lift ourselves up by trying to explain these things away scientifically. Well-educated scientists want to take creation out of God's hands, and they think they can explain our existence. They use math and science to measure the universe and the rate of expansion. Then they do reverse calculations to say when the Big Bang occurred. Yet they still don't have an answer to where the matter and the energy came from in the first place. And somehow in their incredible intelligent theory, somehow in that Big Bang, there were these cells that over billions of years evolved into more complex organisms. Then eventually we had fish and reptiles and land animals. And eventually through a series of evolution, we have man. Scientists want to disprove God's creation. Scientists want to disprove God altogether. Many of them claim that the ignorance of man led him to believe in gods just to explain the unexplainable. They claim that the things we see as miracles are easily explained by science. So many people want to think that they can outthink the existence of God. I mean, why do we even as Christians dumb down God? Why do we think through our own insignificant brains we can turn God into a myth or a maybe? Who do we think we are? Because God is not a maybe. God is not a myth. And I can tell you in my life, God is real. God is real. And here's what James says about man's schemes. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. The devil convinced Adam and Eve that they could have the wisdom of God. And how did that work out for them? Today, the devil is still at work. He wants us to explain away God. He wants us to lift ourselves up and reduce our faith in God. Our God is real, and it's about time that we start living like that. We spend so much time focused on ourselves and what we think we can do, what we want to do. God is about faith, hope, and love. And as children of God, we are given the wisdom, God's wisdom, to spread this faith, hope, and love. James writes this in verse 17, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." Isn't that often at odds to what the world teaches us? Life isn't about more for me. Life in Christ is about living a righteous life with a peace-loving, considerate, submissive heart. Our lives should be full of mercy and good fruit. And the love we share should be genuine and shared with all. You see, it's different when we ask rhetorically, "Who do you think you are?" It's a whole other thing to be genuinely asked, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Do you really know who you are? Do you have any doubt about who you are? Do you ever question your life, question your existence, or question your purpose? Have you ever felt like things were just not right? Have you ever said there's something missing in my life and I just can't put my finger on it?" Well, the real answer to the question of who do you think you are should be, "I am a child of God." You should be able to say, "I am a child of God. I am one of His. He is my Lord, and I put all of my faith in Him, and I am going to live it out. And only through being a child of God, through Jesus Christ, can we truly be peace-loving, considerate, have submissive hearts. And a life in Christ will produce mercy and good fruit. And this kind of love that we share will be genuine, and a love that we are called to share with all. A life in Christ can begin right here today. It can begin with your own acknowledgement that you don't really know who you are. It can start by repenting of your sins. And through the power and prayer today, and through the elements that we're about to receive, you can leave here a new person and know who you are.